forum for frank talk about what people do for a living. Works Do.
Hello, and welcome to Works Do. It's May 20th, 2014, and this is episode number 81. I'm Kate Gase-Walton. I'm the editor of Works Do, an online collection of essays and interviews in which people ponder their work lives. In this episode, I speak with game designer Joe Bittman. He creates the storylines, not for video games, but for tabletop role-playing games, or RPGs. Here's the interview. So I'm talking this evening with Job Bittman, who is a game designer. And Job, I wanted to first let you know that I am so far outside of the world that you inhabit that as I was starting to learn about it, I came at RPG thinking that that meant rocket-propelled grenades. So I just want you to know that this is all foreign to me. But I've since learned that your world, at least partially, is that of role-playing games. And so I wanted to start with that. What does it mean to be a game designer, to be, I've seen the other terms, dungeon master? What does that role actually entail? And tell me a little bit about that world.
Sure. First off, your listeners should probably understand that I'm not a video game designer. There are role-playing games. That's what RPG stands for, role-playing game, video games. But what I do is actually tabletop gaming. So most people are familiar with this as, D&D or Dungeons & Dragons. That was pretty popular in the 80s. It's a bunch of people who sit around the table and roll dice and, pretend to be wizards and elves. So what I do, basically, I write, adventures and game supplements and stuff like that. So
when you're playing a game, what my understanding is there's sort of a world that has already been published and there are some pre-written adventures. So how much of it is kind of guiding people through those pre-existing, settings and adventures? And then how much of it is you creating whole new worlds and whole new stories? How does that work?
Sure. So one of the reasons I got into tabletop role-playing games is I used to be a huge gamer, video games, console games, Xbox, PC games. I used to compete and go to LAN parties, multiplayer games, that kind of stuff. I got to a point where games just kind of all seemed the same, and I tried out Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition when they relaunched it. And I had played when I was a kid, back in the 80s. This was about 2008 or so. And I discovered that I really preferred it to playing games online. It's so impersonal playing multiplayer games online, but when you play tabletop games, it's very social and interactive experience that you have with a group of friends.
Yeah.
So what was your question again?
Well, and so when you're actually playing a game, how much are you relying on content that's sort of already been created that everybody already knows and understands? And how much have you had to kind of bring to it anew?
Well, that's a really good question because, by now I think most people know what an elf is or what an orc is. From, the Lord of the Rings movies and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, the way I play, I usually use some pre-existing material that's called the campaign world. I kind of maybe work off some kind of base of that and then just kind of make up stuff from there, make my own adventures up inside this world.
And does that come
some of the stuff is
Does that come easily to you, or is, I mean, I know a lot of writers, your wife's a writer, and a lot of writers characterize the writing process as something that they love to have done, but the doing of it is very hard. What is this writing process like for you? Does it come easily? Does it feel like heavy lifting?
Sure. First, I would have to say, as someone who runs games, so this would be, you know, what people would know as a dungeon master or a game master, or a judge or referee. And this is basically just the person who knows the rules the best and does the extra homework of figuring out how to play the game, and, you know, coming up with what the story is that no one knows, that they're going to explore. So I think that, there's a lot of game masters out there that just run the games that don't create all this stuff.
Mm.
Now for me, it's something I enjoy a lot. So I actually do it professionally. And I've been doing it professionally since about 2009. And so I write for a bunch of different game companies out there, a bunch of different game systems. I've written my own game systems. And as far as the process, it definitely doesn't come easily. It's a little bit different than other kinds of writing because a few things. First off, if you're writing adventures and campaign setting stuff, and actually mainly this is for adventures, you don't control the characters because the characters are actual real people who come and pretend to be some character.
Mm-hmm.
In the game, you know, the elf and the wizard I was talking about before.
Hmm. So, you know, I was reading a little bit about the role of the dungeon master. Is that, by the way, the term that you use for yourself, or is there some other? I also saw on your podcast you use the term judge. What do you use for yourself?
Well, actually, interestingly enough, the term dungeon master, I believe, is trademarked by the people who own Dungeons and Dragons.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So, which happens to be Wizards of the Coast right now.
Right.
So, a lot of people use that term, dungeon master. I think most people use the term game master these days just because it is a trademarked term.
Mm-hmm.
But different game, you know, every game out there has a different name for it. Like, you know, Metamorphosis Alpha, which is like a science fiction game. They call it the Shipmaster. Dungeon Crawl Classics is another fantasy role-playing game, and they call it a judge. So,
got it. Okay. So in that role, one of the things I was reading was that, you know, as a sort of starting point, you have to have a thorough understanding of the rules, which you mentioned as well. But what else, in your view, do you have to have? What are the qualities that you have and that you see in, you know, peers of yours who also play this role, and what are the skills? What does it take?
Sure. It's definitely a skill set that takes some time to build. It requires a lot of creativity, I think. It attracts a lot of writers. It also takes some improvisational skills I guess maybe a little bit of acting ability. I don't think I have any acting ability, but I can put on some voices and try to act out the parts of, you know, various non-player characters. It's called NPCs in the game. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the villains or,
right,
or maybe the monsters at some times.
Yeah. You know, one phrase I came across listening to one of your podcasts was GBTB, which I gather is go beyond the book. Am I getting this right? So is that considered kind of an ideal, a really good thing if the game master can take the players beyond a world or beyond a series of adventures that have already been scripted? Is that a good quality to shoot for?
Definitely. The best games are when, you know, the game master and the players in the game are all kind of working together and creating this story, consensually and just kind of building it up. And, it's just when it happens, it's really amazing experience. So,
So just two more questions. One is, sure, you mentioned that you actually do this as work that you get paid to do. Are there people who can do this and make a living doing it, or do most people have to do this and then have something else that helps pay the bills? Like, how viable is this as a career track?
Honestly, not very viable. but you know, you could probably say the same about, you know, any types of writers, really.
Right.
So, you know, you could pay a few credit card bills with it, or, you know, pay for some of the game books that you buy to kind of keep your skills up, and keep contemporary with what's going on in the, you know, tabletop game design world.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're definitely, you know, not going to make a lot of money. You know, there's people out there that you know, big names that can, you know, do a Kickstarter and pull in, you know, $200,000 for their Kickstarter. But you know, those are people that you can count on your hand.
Yeah. So the last thing I was curious about is, you know, you mentioned that you played video games a lot at one point, and I wondered, what is the relationship between the tabletop gaming community, if I can call it that, and then the video gaming community? Is there a lot of overlap there? Is there a kind of disdain for, you know, one for the other? What's the dynamic there?
Well, it's not that I stopped playing video games. I still do. It's just, I kind of feel like the more it's a passive kind of gaming.
Mm-hmm.
I really prefer, you know, the way I game now, which is I feel very active. You know, I'm creating things where, you know, rather than just, you know, turning on my TV and picking up a controller and consuming someone else's content. I don't think there's any animosity. I mean,
okay, so there's no trash talking or anything between these two worlds.
No, definitely not. I mean, I don't think I know anybody that plays tabletop games that doesn't play video games.
Mm-hmm.
They just happen to have a passion for, you know, playing real life games, and interacting with people at a table, and, you know, talking to them face to face, and you know, creating cool stories together.
Yeah. So one thing that I'm curious about is how do you find time to do tabletop games? Because I would think one of the appeals of video games, right, is people can kind of do it in the middle of the night and, you know, hook up with people in some other time zone or whatever. But is it a difficult thing logistically to fit into your life?
Oh, yeah. Especially now, you know, that I have a family and three kids. It's, you know, the group I get together with here on the island, we get together about once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And we're, you know, kind of all busy people with busy schedules. But, you know, we carve out this little bit of time. As far as my writing, you know, that's got to take a backseat to most of the rest of, you know, the activities in my life. So I usually, you know, when I'm down to the wire on a contract, I usually get up like I did this morning at about 2:30 in the morning, and then I write till about 6, and then I go to work, then I come home, then I drink a beer and feed the kids and put them to bed and chat with my wife and fall asleep again at 9 and wake up at 2:30 in the morning and write and do that for a couple weeks until I can get my 10,000-15,000 words done.
Wow. And somewhere in there, you also squeeze in a podcast, which I should mention is called Spellburn. Am I getting that right?
Yes. Spellburn has been going on almost for a year now. It's about the Dungeon Crawl Classics role-playing game, which I write for. And we also just, you know, talk about kind of old school gaming in general, which is kind of the older exploratory style of tabletop role-playing games that are kind of coming back into vogue these days.
Interesting. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. It's a fascinating world, and it was nice to get a glimpse into it.
Sure. Anytime, Kay. It was great talking to you.
That wraps up the interview for today. Thanks very much to my guest, Joe Bittman. Thanks to everyone who's written an essay for Works Do. Thanks also to Chris Walton of Visual Story Productions for editing this episode of the podcast. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening today. The next episode will be released in 2 weeks, and I hope you'll check it out. In the meantime, please let me know what you thought of the interview by sending an email to kate@workstew.com, by posting a comment on the Workstew website, or by writing a review for iTunes. Thanks again, and bye for now.